Presence, Lord, adore. Our God, who by his word created the world and holds the universe in his hands, is here with us today, holding and sustaining us. And God is the one who gathers us and greets us this morning with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, by the mighty and renewing work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to worship this morning at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. It's good to be together, and we trust the promise of Jesus that when we are gathered, Jesus is here with us too. And so we are united by the Spirit, those worshiping in the sanctuary, those joining us through the live stream. May the loving presence of God surround you today in silence or song, in solitude or fellowship, in sorrow or joy. District coffees continue this morning. Meeting in the parlor today are members of District 10. And there is coffee, fellowship, and jigsaw puzzles this morning. And that will be in the narthex, in the multipurpose room, through the narthex on the right, following morning worship. This morning, we welcome Reverend Dr. Neil Plantinga to preach the Word of God. Dr. Plantinga comes to us with a long history serving the Christian Reformed Church, most recently working with the Calvin Institute of Christian Worship, and regularly contributing to scholarship and spiritual formation through writing. Welcome, Dr. Plantinga. Thanks for being here today. We also get to welcome a new member to our LaGrave faith family. I invite Alexa Mustert to stand with her family, Mitch and Margot. Alexa joins Mitch in membership at LaGrave, which is the church home of Mitch. Alexa grew up in Middleville, Michigan, and has lived in Grand Rapids since her graduation from Ferris State. Alexa spends some of her time as a dental hygienist and partners with Mitch in raising their daughter, Margot. Both Alexa and Mitch look forward to setting down roots here at LaGrave. Alexa, we welcome you with joy, and we pray that we can continue to be a faith family of love and support for you. You may be seated. Our sermon text this morning includes the very first verses of Scripture, which tell the story of God creating the world with words only. The Scripture also tells us of the very first rhythm of time, evening and morning. From the foundation of the world, words and rhythms have existed. Perhaps this is a clue that we need to pay attention to words and rhythms. The Epistle of James has something to say about the importance of rhythms. Speaking and not speaking, listening and doing, law and freedom. Hear now the word of God from James chapter 1, our call to confession. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in a mirror at his face and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, They will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Brothers and sisters, let us join our hearts and voices in a prayer of confession, printed in your order of worship, praying together. Gracious and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sin. Forgive us for being too busy to notice the needs in the hurting world that surrounds us, the world that begins at our doorsteps. Equip us to be patient and compassionate listeners, proclaiming the gospel not in overbearing ways, with impatient speech, but sensitively and lovingly. Strengthen us with the Holy Spirit to be fruitful and active witnesses to Jesus in all we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now hear these words about our God, the one in whose image we are made. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Beloved, let us pray. Loving God, we have come to find the quiet center in the crowded lives we lead. We gather in this place, this sanctuary, because we know you are here. We know you welcome us with the love of a parent, with simple delight that we are here with you. We praise you, God, for you are the one who made us, who named us, who knows us. With your word, you spoke the world into being. We celebrate the gift of creation, the sights, the smells, the sounds of summer. And then, God, with more than words, with your hands and your very breath, you made humankind. You gently shaped and fashioned us into your likeness, and then breathed the breath of life into us. We celebrate the ways you show your love, creativity, and kindness to us through the family of God. Today we celebrate the marriage of Elise and Noah. Bless them as they begin life together as a family. We celebrate with Marilyn Skidema as she turns 94 on Friday. Thank you for your faithfulness over the many years of her life. When other loves or fears tempt us to move away from people, Holy Spirit, nudge us towards one another in joy, but especially in pain. Give us sensitivity toward the people around us who may be suffering in silence. We think of those with ongoing health concerns that are invisible. We think of those with mental illness or relationships that aren't safe. Remind us of the care that we have received and soften our hearts with compassion for those in our midst who are suffering. This morning, we remember all those we love receiving hospice care or ongoing treatment for cancer, or those whose lives are fragile and complicated. We pray, Lord, in your mercy, lighten the burden of sorrow and despair, and send your spirit of comfort to be a close companion. Walk with Barb Berman and Millie Vrend, who continue recovering from surgery. Lord, you are steadfast, and we pray that Barb and Millie will rest in you, especially in the midst of recovery. Holy Spirit, go before John Olson and Lillian Vandenhuvel, both anticipating surgeries tomorrow. Give them peace. Remind them that you made them and you hold them. We also pray for you to hold all those we love who are far from us. Today we think of people we love who are serving in the military or who are missionaries. Your world is big, and we are thankful for the bond we share as siblings in Christ. Creator God, we remember that you are the author of time, and we pray that you would help us use our time wisely. We remember that there is indeed a time for everything. Scripture says that you set eternity in the human heart, and no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so when life causes us to weep or mourn, be with us until the day we can laugh and sing. When the world seems to be torn down, be with us until it can be rebuilt. You promise to be with us always, and for that, we say thank you. And we pray all these things through the power of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Now the silence, now the peace, now the empty hands uplifted, now the kneeling, now the plea, now the Father's arms in welcome, now the the wedding, now the songs, now the heart forgiven leaping, now the Spirit's visitation, now the Son's epiphany, now the Father's blessing, now, now, now. Now the silence, now the peace, now the empty hands uplift. Epiphany, now the Father's blessing.
I'd like to invite my youngest siblings in Christ to come forward and join me here on the steps. I have something to say just to you. Oh, welcome, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's so nice to see you all from this seat. Pastor Rachel said last time, we usually have to sit in that seat to see you for the children's sermon. It's so fun to learn about God with you. So this morning, when you go to children's worship, Pastor Neil is going to read us some scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament, and it helps us learn how to live as people who love God. And one of the really short verses he's going to read to us says, there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. So, I don't know about you, but I always feel like I have a lot I want to say, right? Things I want to talk about, stories I want to tell, people I want to talk to, and I have a hard time being silent. Does anybody else here have a hard time being silent? Yeah. Yeah, me too, right? So I think what we need to do today is practice. We need to practice being silent. So we're going to play a game, okay? I wonder if any of you have heard of this game before. It's called the quiet game, okay? So here's what we're going to do. When I say go, I'm going to count to 10 with my fingers, and we'll see if we can be quiet for the count of 10. Okay, are you ready? All right, go. Well, look at that. Was it hard? It didn't seem too hard. Okay, well, let's make it harder. How about 15? I'm going to count to 15, okay? Ready? All right, go. Wow. Nice work, you guys. So one of the reasons that we learn about being silent is so that other people can talk, right? And there's a story in the Bible about a man named Elijah. And God told Elijah to go stand on a mountain. And when Elijah was on that mountain, there was a big noisy wind and it broke the rocks. It was so loud. And then there was an earthquake and that was really noisy. And then there was a big blowy fire and that was noisy. And then it got quiet. And when it was quiet, Elijah heard God whisper. And God whispers to us too. God might whisper to you, I'm with you. It's okay you're afraid. Or, I love you, even if you feel alone. And when we're baptized, God gives us a special gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always working in our hearts, little by little. So as it feels sometimes hard to be silent, we practice and the Holy Spirit helps us. And sometime, as we practice being silent, I bet we'll hear God whisper to us. So that's what I wanted to talk about with you this morning. And now we're going to practice being loud when the congregation gives us our blessing. Okay, we know what we say back to them, right? Okay, so congregation, what is our prayer for these children?
The Lord be with you.
Oh, and also with you, yes. Go in peace.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, it's good to be back with you for the worship of God. God's word comes to us today, first in Genesis 1, the first five verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be silent and a time to speak. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In one of his sermons, Eugene Laubach tells of a young man who is invited for dinner in a strict Quaker household. This young man didn't know anything about Quaker piety, and in particular, he didn't know the Quaker custom of beginning a meal with silence. Later in the week, he told some of his friends how that part of the visit had gone. "Boy," he said, there was this embarrassing silence when we first sat down at the table. Nobody knew what to say, and everybody looked down, and so I told the joke about what you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Unitarian, and that seemed to break the ice. You get a person who compulsively knocks on doors and then doesn't know what to say. Silence puzzles some people. They meet a silence and they wonder what's wrong. Silence makes them restless, just the opposite of what you'd expect. You'd expect that people would enter a silence and fold their wings. You'd expect that inside a silence, people would smooth out and settle down. But that's not the way it goes. The odd thing is that a lot of people find silence disquieting. Some of us have understood that if you go to a big league sports event and the announcer asks for a moment of silence to honor some fallen hero, people will do it. People will bow their heads and the place goes quiet. But it's never for a full minute. No, you get about 10 seconds of silence, and then when it's over, there's an explosion of cheering and whistling as if the whole place had been holding its breath and now let it all out at once. 10 seconds of silence, and then everybody's glad that's over so they can get back to normal and everybody can scream, "We will rock you." Silence embarrasses people, so they try to get rid of it. People will haul their boomboxes to the seashore so they don't have to live in the silence between the rolling of the waves and the crying of the gulls. People crank up the mega bass in their car stereos so they can cruise through a neighborhood and blow all the birds out of the trees. People leave their TV on all day and fill their house with chatter. Some of it's hostile, some of it's amusing, but mostly this chatter is pointless. It's what Ephesians calls unwholesome talk. And it sounds like this. "So I'm like standing there and he goes, 'You're hot.' And I'm like, 'Whoa, this guy is sleeping with my mom.' But like he's kind of cute, so I'm like, 'Hey.' In all these things, we're losing our silences. Cultural critics tell us that it's merely a matter of cultural debasement, that the barbarians are through the gates. Maybe you would like some silences in human life, but most people don't. Culture critics say it's all part of the culture war, and you will lose it because noisy people have more votes than you do, and more decibels, and far more children. So what do you think? Is the lament for lost silence just a snooty last gasp by losers in the culture war? Is this whole dispute just a matter of taste? Not this time. Silence is actually part of the basic rhythm of human life. Our need for silence goes to who we are, not just what we want. That's why a loss of silence is so serious. A loss of silence is just as serious as a loss of memory and just as confusing. Silence is, after all, the natural context in which we listen. And silence is the natural context from which we speak. A culture that fills all our silences, therefore, disorients us. It rips away our frame. It removes the base of intelligibility for all of our listening and speaking. In the story of creation, in Genesis 1, God speaks 6 times in 6 days and then stops. God rests. But each of these 6 days also has a night, and God rests then, too. God doesn't talk all the time. In fact, Genesis doesn't even start with a word. Genesis starts with the formlessness of the earth and the Spirit of God brooding over the face of the deep. Then God speaks. You might almost say, at last God speaks. Let there be light, says God. According to Genesis, God breaks the cosmic silence with a creative word. Alternating silence and speech and silence is the very rhythm of God, and it's as deep in the nature of things as creation itself. The idea, right from the start, is that there is a time to be silent and a time to speak, each in its turn, each in its season. And so we have the author of Ecclesiastes, the mysterious writer of one of the most mysterious books in Scripture. You may be aware that nobody knows who wrote this book, or why, or where, or when, or to whom, or with what point of view. I say the mysterious author of the book of Ecclesiastes reflects on everything under the sun and then tells us that it has rhythm. It has a calendar. There's a time for everything, says the author, a time to be silent and a time to speak. But who knows which is which? Who knows how to tell time? Who knows when to speak up and when to keep still? Who knows when silence is golden and when it's cowardly? Wise people know these things. Wise people discern the deep grains and patterns of God's world and then try to go with the grain. These are people whose habits are in season. They've got rhythm where silence and speech are concerned. And let's reflect for a moment how urgent this wisdom can be. You are a guest at a dinner party where somebody brags about tax fraud or betrays a confidence. When is it time to be silent? And when is it time to speak? Suppose your daughter wants to marry a man you're convinced will make her miserable. When is it time to be silent? And when is it time to speak? Some of the time we know it's too early to speak. We don't have all the facts. If we were to talk, we wouldn't know what we were talking about. And sometimes it's too late to speak. How many children have buried their parents with words of gratitude or forgiveness unspoken? Sometimes it's too late to speak. Ecclesiastes says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to keep silent and a time to speak." But what time is that? How would I know? How would I get with the rhythm of the universe here? I think the author of Ecclesiastes would tell me to get wisdom. The wise have a feel for when it's time to be silent and when it's time to speak. For example, they know almost instinctively when it's time to confront somebody and when it's time to prepare to be confronted. The wise can tell time. But how do you get wisdom? Suppose that wisdom is partly God's gift and partly our calling. How do we pursue our calling? Well, let me offer three observations. First, wise people spend a lot of time in the interrogative mood. I mean, they ask lots of questions. They ask questions and then they wait. How simple it sounds, how seldom it happens. The wise ask questions and then they wait. Foolish people, on the other hand, foolish people don't ask anything. Have you noticed? Foolish people have no questions. They just make statements. These are people who are often in error, but never in doubt. They don't wonder about anything. But the wise ask lots of questions. How did you do that? Who taught you? Why do it that way? How do you know when you've got it right? Your faith is strong. How do you strengthen it? Wise people ask lots of questions. Second, wise people imitate God by not talking all the time. They've got more silences than words, and their silences are just as thoughtful as their words. They speak only from a context of silence. And when they have nothing valuable to say, they fall silent again. You have to be wise to tell time in God's calendar. But if we are wise, we will listen first for the silences and the sounds of God. The silences of God are so mysterious and so deep. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak, and God has kept this calendar far longer than any of us. In the beginning, we hear not God's speech, but God's silence. Everything is darkness and chaos and brooding. That's where the story of the Bible begins. It begins with the silence of God, and then at last God speaks. And then God falls silent again. That's the rhythm. And the truth is that the silences of God can drive us crazy with longing, with exasperation. Doesn't God know that chaos keeps threatening to come back? Why is God so emphatically silent? third observation. God is often silent, but then, at last, in the fullness of time, God does speak. God speaks out of chaos or out of a whirlwind. God speaks by prophet and priest and king. God speaks in the great tangled history of redemption. God speaks in scripture and in sermon. But afterward, God falls silent. In these silences, people call to God. They shout at God. They question God. And then they wait. And while they wait, they keep listening. It's so important to see that both the shouting and the waiting come from faith. Faith attaches us to the Word of God, but even more urgently, faith must sometimes persist through the silences of God. In faith, we know God is there even when the God we seek seems so silent. And once, in the Middle East of this planet, once when darkness was covering the earth again and gross darkness was over the people, once Joseph was willing to act quietly and Mary was pondering deep things in her heart, once while the shepherds did their desolate nighttime duty, once upon a time, not in a fairy tale, but in the Middle East of this planet, once upon a time, God spoke again. Darkness was over the earth and great gross darkness was over the people. And once more, God said, "Let there be light." And the Son of God, the light of the world, lowered himself into our darkness to shine for all to see. Mary, the mother of God, honored all mothers by saying to God, "I'm here. Do your work of incarnation in me. Do it according to your word." And the word became flesh inside Mary's womb. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't talk all the time. For a while, God falls silent. It's only when the pressure builds, it's only when the time is full, it's only when God's silence is so full and so pregnant that it's high time to speak, it's only then that God sends the Word into the world. God's Word became flesh, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Brothers and sisters, I've come to the grave this morning to say just one thing. There is a time for everything under the sun, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. It's a rhythm as old as the world. Let us pray. Oh God, we want to listen for your silences. We want to listen for your word. Make us faithful in our listening. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
followers of Jesus, take the word you have heard and speak it. Take the love you have felt and spread it. Take the song in your heart and sing it, all for the sake of God's reputation in the world, for the benefit of those around you, and for yourself, that God may begin a new work in you today. Amen.